Ace Podcast.
Coming up on this episode.
Headline is Pennsylvania woman accused of shooting, killing husband in argument over burnt casserole.
She shouldn't have burnt the casserole.
Oh, Craig. She's an evil woman.
She's
evil woman. Later.
She's just psycho.
Yeah.
Officer Tony Bernardo, a 20-year-old veteran. Well, good. He knows how to take care of animals. That's veterinarian. Sorry.
All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I am Craig.
And I'm Aaron, and Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone is the podcast that brings you the best in weird news and strange stories, and it's all true. And we do it twice a week, Craig.
Yes, we do.
Every Monday, every Friday.
You know why?
Why?
We're crazy.
You got top story? No, I got top story tonight.
Yeah, you know what?
What?
Tonight?
Oh, sorry.
Top story.
Vets? Oh, wait. Headline is, vets remove over 900 coins from the stomach of a turtle called Bank.
Appropriate.
The turtle's called Bank, and he's got all kind of money in him. Vets have removed 915 coins from the stomach of a green sea turtle in Thailand, thought to be as a result of tourists tossing money into a pool for good luck. Bangkok specialist operated on the female turtle, nicknamed Bank, whose indigestible diet is thought to have accumulated in the pool over many years in the eastern town of Saraka. Many Thais believe that throwing coins on turtles will bring longevity. So if you're a turtle in Thailand, you're going to have bruises and bumps and whatever.
And you're going to be rich. And you're going to jingle while you walk.
The loose change eventually formed a heavy ball in Bank's stomach weighing about 11 pounds.
Why was it the shape of a ball?
I don't know. The weight cracked the turtle's shell, causing a life-threatening infection. That's sad.
That is sad.
But at least she had money to pay the doctors.
Not only that, it just took her forever to get to the doctor.
Five surgeons from the university there, the veterinary facility, removed the coins in a four-hour operation.
She gets the money. I guess that goes towards her bill.
Yeah. The 25-year-old creature's coin stash was too big to take out through the 4-inch incision vets initially made, so it removed a few coins at a time. And they said, keep the change. Many of them had corroded or partially dissolved. It's the stomach acid.
I think every time the coins fell out, they're like, ching-ching, ching-ching, ching-ching.
Surgical team member Pascorn Brisquansi said,
yeah, I know. I can't follow all his work.
The result is satisfactory. Now it's up to Bank how much she can recover. While recovering in the university's animal hospital, the turtle will be on a liquid diet for the next 2 weeks. They're just going to give her alcohol.
Well, at least she wasn't low iron.
She won't even care. Yes. Bank was brought to the veterinarians by the Navy, which found her ailing in her seaside hometown. It was only after a detailed 3D scan that the veterinarians pinpointed the weighty problem as well as the coins. They also found 2 fish hooks, which were also removed, Craig. So that turtle named Bank was making bank. But had bad health.
That turtle's making more money than you.
What if you had a ball in your stomach and they took it out and it was money? You'd say, hey.
I hope it was hundreds. I said, hey. That's what you said. You went, hey. More than 100 diners flee Spanish restaurant without paying.
Ooh, and that's got to be a big bill.
Got to be. Some 120 diners celebrating a baptism at a restaurant in a northwestern Spanish town all fled the restaurant at once without paying, the owner said.
Cha-ching.
The diners who had paid a deposit of 900 euros, that's $950.
Oh, okay.
Left the El Carmen restaurant in Bimbimbre as a dessert was due to be served, Antonio Rodriguez said. It happened in a space of a minute, he said. It was like something they planned and they left it, like a stampede or something. They owe 2,000 euros more, he said. Mr. Rodriguez gave police the details on the reservation, but said he held out little hope of being repaid. Police told El Pais newspaper they had not yet been able to contact any of the diners.
Surely they
haven't. Who are not thought to be Spaniards.
No, I had a hamburger that day.
Nobody expected the Spanish Inquisition.
We don't need no stinking bill.
The The diners had consumed starters, a main course, and 30 bottles of various alcoholic drinks, he said, adding that it was the first time in 35 years of working in the restaurant trade that he had seen anything comparable. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
You can't get that many. How many people did it say it was?
120.
Okay. You can't get 120 people when a fire alarm goes off.
No.
Out of the building.
This had to be planned.
They had to have, like, in sections.
When they said, when they go back and get dessert, everybody take off.
Well, not just that. They had to. It almost had to be in, like, a uniform
yeah.
kind of. And
they
here's
planned
the thing,
it.
And here's the thing,
they
too.
They practiced.
They had to have been parked somewhere else.
Well, let me ask you this. What better way to celebrate a baptism than robbing a guy that
right.
owns a restaurant?
What a better way than you know, cementing the whole redemption thing
yes.
with stealing from someone.
All right, here's another story that you brought to us, Craig. You brought this to the show. Headline is, man grades his ex-girlfriend's apology letter and sends it back to her.
I was actually thinking this is kind of funny that I get credit for bringing stories.
Yeah.
Because you don't.
I don't get credit for it.
It's almost like we know you get all the stories, and then it's like some special treat if I actually give something to the show.
Bingo.
Point taken.
A student at Florida. Hang on, it's Florida.
In Florida, I went dessert.
A student at Florida's Stetson University has graded an apology letter sent to him by his...
It smells really good there?
I do. By his ex-girlfriend and sent it back to her with a mark, which means he marked it up and returned
it. Yeah, he graded it.
Instead of throwing away, Nick Lutz decided to get a red marker out and critique... The four-page note, she put a lot of heart into this
that's
thing.
That's why he needed to take the time to at least grade it.
He gave his ex a 61 out of 100 and a D- for her effort. Long intro, short conclusion, strong hypothesis, but nothing to back it up. Details are important, he wrote on the final page. He starts off his letter by saying the introduction is too long and there's a lot of repetition. Nick says his ex needs to show reasoning when saying she ended up failing to keep the relationship working. He also says she needs to back up her claims with proof, like saying she never cheated on him.
Like he's just over her at this point.
Yeah,
and he's
having
laughing.
Fun.
He's having fun.
Nick then calls his ex out when she says he has no reason to hide, lie, or hold anything back from him. He writes in the margin, if there's no reason to lie, why isn't the truth being told? He says he hasn't thought about her when she asks if he has, and again accuses her of using useless fillers to pad out her letter. Nick even says that she used lackadaisical handwriting near the end of her note.
She just got lazy at the end.
The final page contains a question mark after I love you, and also the rest of Nick's final conclusion. If you want to be believed, back it up with proof, he writes. You claim that cheating never occurred, but place blame on yourself. What then for? Need to stop contradicting your own story and pick a side. While this gesture is appreciated, I would prefer details over statements. Revisions for half credit will be accepted.
English major?
He must be.
Oh, man. I'm not laughing so much about the headline as that I want to know where you buy one of these.
I'd like to have one.
Robber wearing shark onesie, armed with hammer, robs a Canterbury BP of lollies.
Okay, wait a minute.
A lolly? It's a lollipop, right?
So they have BPs in Canterbury. Yeah, it'd be a lollipop. But Canterbury is known for chocolate, aren't they?
That's
or is Cadbury?
Cadbury. But thanks now. I will not get chocolate out of my head now.
Okay, there's three funny things in this headline to me. Number one, he's wearing a shark onesie.
He's wearing a shark onesie.
Can't take him serious.
Nope.
Number two, he's got a hammer. What's he going to do? Drive the nails deeper? And number three, he only takes lollipops.
I don't know about you, but I'm sure there've been plenty of hammer assaults over this.
Yeah,
I'm sure
probably has.
He could have hit somebody with a hammer.
Yeah, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning though. So go ahead.
Keeping the old and old. All ready?
Yeah.
A man wearing a shark onesie and armed with a hammer has robbed a Canterbury petrol station of lollies. Detective Senior Sergeant Mark Warner said two men entered the BP Rolleston about 2:20 or 2.20 a.m. on Monday.
They have smashed a glass shelf, which startled the attendant, who retreated to the staff room where another colleague was having a break.
Be right back. I gotta go to the staff room.
The two offenders have then left the service station with an unknown amount of confectionery.
Calais boom boom. Candy.
Police searched the area after the incident but failed to locate the men. Both offenders were of average height and build.
That's not nice.
One was wearing a blue and white shark onesie, a gray cap, black gloves.
Racist.
Socks, and had dark blue bandana covering his face. He had been carrying the hammer.
I want to say that he was totally sharky complete. Go ahead.
That one flew over my head.
Yeah.
The other was wearing a black hoodie sweatshirt, black rugby shorts, a black baseball cap, sunglasses, and a blue bandana around his face. He lost the costume contest.
He did, loser.
A BP spokeswoman.
Shame on you.
Said her team did. I corrected myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Said her team did a fantastic. Well, we don't want to hear about.
Did a fantastic job.
We don't want to hear about the sports right now. Okay.
We're glad. Well, who is our team?
We're glad your team is doing so good.
She must be an Auburn fan,
right? Her team did a fantastic job and followed the correct process. We are extremely pleased that no one was harmed. We are, of course, working closely with our staff to provide them with support as a result of the incident.
Uh-huh.
Warner said the staff had been offered the services of victim support. Victim support!
Do you ever get entertained when you go to Waffle House? I mean, besides the food being delicious, you ever get entertained?
Same way you do when you go to Walmart or something?
Yeah, yeah. You can see entertainment. Headline is...
I'm going to say the times I've been there, people have been...
I've been entertained at Waffle House.
At Waffle Mart?
Yes. Screaming woman hops on Waffle House table, flings sugar and napkins. When she was done throwing her tantrum, the Waffle House was scattered and covered,
I get it.
With hurled condiments, sugar jars, and napkin holders. A Lawrenceville woman was sitting outside the restaurant in a Toyota Camry when a Bibb County Sheriff's deputy to handle a disorderly person call.
I can only see a cop now wearing a big bib.
The disorderly person, it turned out, was this woman. And when the deputy went inside the eatery, customers pointed to her in the Camry.
It was her.
The woman in the driver's seat wouldn't roll down her window when the deputy tried
to
talk to her.
No!
She's not going to do it. Then she got out and tried to leap over her just-opened car door to get away from the deputy.
Can't catch me!
The deputy grabbed her and handcuffed her. Someone in the restaurant, according to the deputy's write-up, said the woman had slung sugar jars, bottles of condiments, and other table settings. When someone asked her to leave, the report went on. She refused and stood on top of a table and started to scream. Two condiment bottles and a sugar jar were damaged. Well, that's going to cost her at least 30 cents or something.
Wow.
There was no mention in the report about what may have set the woman off. She was jailed on disorderly conduct and obstruction
charges. I'll tell you what set her off. Two words.
What?
Bath salt.
Exactly.
Okay.
What you got?
I don't make up the news. I just read it.
That's right.
New Pie Tops sneakers. Order Pizza Hut for you.
Pie Tops. I see what they did there. Yeah.
Pie Tops.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll order the pizza for you.
How does that happen?
Well, because in our society, you can't be too lazy.
That's true.
When I want a $7.99 large pizza from Pizza Hut, I can order with this, this, and now from my Pizza Hut Pie Tops.
Here's your large two-topping Pizza Hut pizza.
Easy as pie.
Now get a large two-topping pizza for just $7.99. It's the best pizza delivery deal.
Because no one out pizzas the Hut.
You choose, order your own pizza.
And now for the cheesiest story of the day.
Da-dum-psh.
A pair of sneakers will order pizza for you, according to Pizza Hut.
Huh.
They're called Pie Tops. And with the press of a button, you'll have a $7.99 large Pizza Hut Supreme pizza sent wherever these shoes go with you.
That's a good deal.
Only a limited number of these shoes will be available to the public. Pizza Hut has not released details on how or when to get your hands on these Pie Tops.
I want one.
This is kind of a marketing trend now. McDonald's just did the weird straw thing for their milkshakes. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was a... there was like in Tennessee, there was one place in the middle of nowhere, one McDonald's you could get them. And there were these, they were manufactured in a way, they were basically engineered to have two holes in them to keep it flowing, but also to mix the flavors. So it was like during the mint, one of their milkshakes. And for that one day, they were going to make it not mixed up. So like at the bottom would be
like
vanilla,
half and half.
At the top would be the other flavor, and the straw would grab each flavor anyway.
But I'll tell you this, every straw I've ever used has had two holes in it.
Right. Well, yeah. This would be the third and fourth hole.
Oh, so four holes.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the case of Pie Tops,
yes,
it's another, I can see like kids out playing basketball hit the button, but what happens if you fall down, you hit the button, you get 12 pizzas show up.
That'd be awesome.
It's like those.
But $7.99 for a large specialty pizza, that's a good deal.
Yeah, but also, you know, you got the Amazon, those buttons, like the Tide buttons and all that.
Did those ever take off?
They still have them.
Yeah, I know they still have them, but I don't.
I can see somebody with a kid just click, 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 click. Suddenly you got like a truckload backs up into your.
It's like that Alexa thing where kids can order whatever they want just by speaking it.
Well, kind of you do the same thing with
okay,
a telephone.
We've had a, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but we've had a whole lot of violent food stories these last few episodes. Yep. Well, here's another one
for
you.
And now you got a paw woman.
A paw woman. Headline is, Pennsylvania woman accused of shooting, killing husband in argument over burnt casserole.
She shouldn't have burnt the casserole.
Oh, Craig. Police are still sorting out what really happened inside the home of Western Pennsylvania on Monday night, but the disturbing details are beginning to emerge as police continue to question the main suspect in the fatal shooting, the victim's wife. According to TribeLive.com, 38-year-old Teresa Drum of Fraser County first claimed her husband shot himself during the time she called 911 amid an alcohol-fueled argument over the fact that she had drunk his last beer. But after she made the 911 call at around 10:30 p.m., police said the husband, Dennis Drum Sr., 42, was already shot dead.
Doesn't seem like a senior at all. He seems pretty young, actually.
A bullet in his forehead in the bedroom.
Oh, did they have to say it that way?
Yeah. And Teresa Drum is accused of texting a picture of his dead body to a friend and then taking a shower to rinse off before dialing 911. She's an evil woman.
She's
evil woman. Later,
she's just psycho.
Yeah. Later, under questioning, Teresa Dunn allegedly told detectives she and her husband had been fighting about a casserole she burned that night.
This is more than about a casserole.
Ooh, leading to a storm of insults and cursing. She said her husband was sitting on the edge of the bed, and she was standing over him when he pulled the gun from a holster. She said she put her finger on the gun's trigger along with his, and it went off. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll help you. She also admitted to drinking 7 beers.
There we go.
Since 5 o'clock that night. Dennis Drum was found lying in a fetal position, a gun in his right hand, and a bullet in his forehead. That's terrible. That's twice they put it that way. Teresa Drum showed paramedics her cell phone and produced a picture she had taken at 10:20 of her husband lying as first responders had found him. Teresa Drum says she took the picture because she didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
It's a photo moment.
Let me document
it's
it.
It's a Kodak moment.
I'm going to document this here with a photograph. Court documents state she sent the picture to a friend who told her to call 911.
I'm sure the friend really appreciated that. Oh, thanks for the picture of your dead husband.
This is awful. Call the police. Police said that in the picture taken 11 minutes before the 911 call, no gun can be seen around Dennis Drum.
She's not a very good criminal.
In his right hand. She's terrible. Teresa Drum is charged with criminal homicide.
Should be ignorant homicide.
She's awful at that.
All right, we got an update.
To Madam Update.
Yes. Women's face-smacking contest cost Arnelia's nightclub a 10-day closure.
Women's face-smacking. This is Smackfest. I remember this story.
Yeah, she went outside and got smacked all over the parking lot.
Yeah, she did. More than her face.
Smackfest, a women's face-smacking contest, has come back to hit a popular Green Line nightclub where it hurts most, the wallet.
What? How starved are these people for entertainment?
I don't know, but it says they closed for 10 days. No, it says they lost their liquor license for 10 days. They can't serve sandwiches?
It's a nightclub, though. You don't
that's true.
You don't go to get full. You go to get drunk.
I guess so. Well, I don't go.
I don't either.
Arnelia's nightclub has agreed to give up its liquor license for 10 days in late March. The penalty negotiated with city officials stems from a November 4th altercation between two contestants that took place in the bar's parking lot following the all-female face-smacking contest known as Smackfest.
As heard on Two Middle-Aged Dudes.
That's true.
And a microphone.
A woman reported that she was violently assaulted by a fellow competitor and her friends. St. Paul police said they requested surveillance video a few days after the assault, and the bar was unable to provide it within the required 48 hours. Funny. The tape got erased.
Yeah.
City officials noted that the failure to provide the video constituted the bar's third license violation in 18 months.
Three strikes.
Which would normally incur a $2,000 penalty and a 10-day license suspension. Through their attorney, the bar asked for a legal hearing before an administrative law judge. A pre-hearing conference scheduled for January 30th was canceled when Arnelia's reached a settlement agreement with the city's Department of Safety and Inspections, lowering the penalty to $500. They were also allowed to pick the 10 days they would be closed.
Well, that's not very punishing.
Nope, not really.
Just pick 10 slow days. Take a vacation.
Arnelia's license... Yeah, really. Arnelia's license requires the bar to maintain 10 video surveillance cameras inside and outside the establishment and maintain recordings for at least 30 days or be... Or to be viewed immediately by police responding to a serious call upon request. They can go to Sam's Wholesale Club and buy a kit.
Cheap.
Probably a cloud service would record the stuff.
Yeah, you can get
them.
Like a pack of 10 for a dollar.
They're just not doing it. Yeah. I know a place you can get it for $5.
Yeah, me too.
Arnelia's will be closed from midnight, March 2nd to 11:59, going exactly the amount of time on March 31st. During a public hearing Wednesday, a representative of the bar promised there would be better management in the future. City Council President Russ Stark called Arnelia's an institution, but said this smackfest stuff has got to stop.
I agree.
He was immediately smacked.
That's ridiculous. Hey, you like chicken nuggets?
Depends on where they're from.
I do love a chicken nugget.
Depends on where they're from.
Headline is, chicken nuggets to blame for man's DUI.
They sold it to him?
I guess. Some blame it on the alcohol. Jeremy Miller placed the blame on chicken nuggets.
Sounds fair.
The Montcalm County, Michigan man was arrested this past December for driving with a blood alcohol level nearly twice the legal limit. When the 40-year-old was stopped for speeding and later arrested, Miller reportedly told the cops he was detained because I was stupid, those darn chicken nuggets.
If they detained people for being stupid, nobody would get anywhere.
Miller was pulled over in the early morning hours of December 18th of last year when cops clocked him driving 58 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. That's going 100% over the speed limit almost. When stopped,
thanks for the math update.
Miller had a blood alcohol content of 0.14 after taking a breathalyzer test. According to MLive, the arresting officer asked Miller how much he had to drink. I don't know. It's been a night, Miller said.
I don't know.
The man was thrown in jail and later posted bail. The next day, he entered a plea of not guilty in court. On Thursday, Miller released a statement apologizing for his embarrassing actions. I have always tried to meet the highest of standards, but realize I have failed in this instance, he said. I will rededicate myself to meeting those high standards in the future. Was he running for office?
And all he mentions is one time he was speeding because of the nuggets.
Yeah, Miller's next court appearance is set for March 24th.
Hey, we're going back to Florida.
Okay.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Large python tries to hide in car outside Davy home.
Wait, this is a snake story, too. We hadn't had one of these in a few episodes.
Yeah, it's time for one, you know. It's time.
Oh, yeah.
College student Ross Price had just put in a long study session, and he wasn't prepared for what he found moving by his parking space. At first, it looked like the parking block had shifted. Then he saw something far scarier.
Oh, so he's talking about that thing that stops your car, the block that stops your car.
Yeah, I guess so. An 11-foot reticulated python had slithered under his roommate's Toyota Camry.
Good grief, 11 foot!
I'm used to seeing snakes, but nothing that big, said Price, 24, a student at Nova Southeastern University. You just don't expect something like that wandering around your house.
Okay, Florida is quickly becoming the Australia of America.
A lot of snakes. I told you I saw one at Disney World.
And this guy said he's even used to seeing snakes. So yeah. you just walk outside, snake.
He sees them all the time.
Alligator, you know.
Snake, alligator.
Crocodile shark.
Right, good point.
Land shark.
Candygram. Price and his roommate, James Hand, called an exterminator on that February 1st night, but the person who answered said it was too late to send someone.
Sorry, we're sleeping.
So they called police and reported that
a snake,
about 6 feet long, had crawled under Hand's car. Officer Tony Bernardo, a 20-year-old veteran, well, good, he knows how to take care of animals. That's veterinarian, sorry. Who is the department's go-to guy for dealing with wildlife, responded along with two other officers.
Somebody get Bernardo. We got an animal.
That's right. The snake put up a fight, twisting and moving deeper into the Camry's engine compartment as the officers attempted... Right. Started to slowly pull it out. It took about 15 minutes to remove the clinging reptile. Bigger than I initially thought it was, said Price, who along with Hand stood nearby watching the extraction. Hand, 25, also an NSU student, said it was lucky that Price saw the snake when he did. I thought about it later, he said. What if it had crawled up in my car and made its way inside while I was driving? I don't want to think about that.
Ugh.
How would it make it inside?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They make it through toilets and everything else.
Yeah.
Davy Police spokesman Sergeant Mark Leone said the snake probably was once a pet because it was found in a residential area.
That doesn't mean it's a pet.
Does that make me a scientist if I'm found around some sort of a...
You're more of a scientist than Bill Nye.
No, well, it's time to bash on Bill Nye. We had a whole segment of bashing on Bill Nye.
It's a rolling gag.
Yes. Later, it was turned over to Strictly Reptiles, a company licensed by the state... to care for exotic animals. Is it strictly reptiles? Hey, I got a rat. No, we're strictly reptiles.
Hey, call simply rodents.
Hey, I found a cat. I told you strictly reptiles.
Okay, Craig, I saw a very disturbing video this week, and this story goes along with it. Headline is, man in homemade tank destroys small town. Helpless police have no way to stop him.
This sounds awesome.
The video was actually very scary because this thing, okay, let me just read it. Some people throw things when they're unhappy. Others convert their bulldozer into a tank and destroy half their town.
Military needs this guy.
It was nuts. Marvin John Heemeyer chose the latter option after losing a zoning dispute. So he had a chip on his shoulder. The outraged welder and auto mechanic, so he's got two things going. He can build
right,
a tank.
Right.
Auto mechanic outfitted his Komatsu D355A bulldozer.
Oh, good grief, not the D355A.
With a homemade armor plating.
Okay.
Using 5,000 PSI quick-reat concrete mix layered between sheets of tool steel. This thing's stronger than a tank,
this
I would say.
Is like...
Heemeyer
surprised it moved.
Covered his cabin, engine, and portions of his tracks with 1 foot thick armor plates. That's a thick plate. He mounted multiple cameras around the exterior, which could be viewed by multiple monitors mounted in the dashboard.
That's for real.
The man was so outraged he was willing to destroy a town, but maintained the thoughtful composure to include air jets that would blast dust away from the camera lenses. Now that's planning ahead, Craig. He put little air jets on the lenses,
right,
to clear them. Heemeyer also added multiple gun ports for his .50 caliber, .308 caliber, and .22 caliber rifles. Once his machine was finished, the rampage began. Local police in Granby, Colorado, were completely helpless to stop the improvised tank. The 200-plus rounds of ammunition fired at the tank dozer may as well have been spitballs, and the 3 explosives they planted on the armor did literally jack squat. Authorities later discovered a homemade remote control crane Heemeyer used to mount the armor hole over his cabin after he was already inside. So he had a remote control. He went to a lot of trouble to build this tank.
I was looking this up while you were talking. It reminds me of the movie Tank with James Garner.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie.
And he goes, I was actually looking this up because I couldn't remember who all was in it, but C. Thomas Howell is in the prison camp. And he's got a Sherman tank.
Yeah, that's right.
So he just goes barreling through and
breaking out. The disgruntled man clearly had no intention of leaving the tank alive, and his rampage only ended after he died from a self-inflicted gunshot.
Oh, that guy, with a little
useful
rehabilitation, would have been awesome.
Yeah, because he had the ingenuity.
He just needed a hug.
Okay, we talked about our new voicemail last episode. I want to explain it again because it's very simple. All you do, you go to our website at twodudes.stream, and when you go there, you're going to notice it looks a lot different, Craig.
Right.
But there's a button just on the left hand.
It's actually
on the right side.
It's on our Facebook site too.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page too if you go there. But you click that button, you record right away. It's very simple. So please do that and leave us our listener, please leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play one now. This is from my friend Keith. Here we go.
Hey, two dudes and a microphone. This is Keith Heinrichs. I'm a little behind on the podcast. I think I'm on 30-something. You guys are probably like on 60. But I just finished the podcast where you guys talk about Nickelback. Nickelback is kind of awesome. You guys are totally wrong on that point. Just because they're from Canada does not make them any less awesome. But they are really awesome. And just wanted to say how much I do enjoy the show, contrary to the fact that I haven't listened to it in a while. It just comes down to time. But great show. You guys keep doing what you're doing. Love you guys, and I hope to catch up on the podcast soon and continue to listen to it.
So Keith really loves Nickelback,
right,
as you could tell.
Right.
You know, I doubted him at first. I used to say, how could anybody love Nickelback? But he kept telling me over and over he loved him.
Right.
Apparently he does, which brings us to this week's, and this is not going to be a Chaz Flaccus top 10 list. This is going to be.
We didn't mention Chaz Flaccus the last time.
Oh, well, you know, he didn't pay his bill.
We dropped the ball.
Yeah. So this is a Keith Heinrichs top 10 list this week.
It's dedicated to Keith.
Yeah, because he's such a Nickelback
fan. And because this is a what?
This is a top 10 list.
Top 10 best Nickelback songs.
So anyway, we haven't done any top 10 list of bands songs, which we could do plenty of. I mean, we could do a top 100 of REO songs because they just go on and on. You know, there's unlimited amount.
They haven't had that many top ones.
Styx.
They haven't had that many number ones.
Styx
would be good. Yeah.
You know,
Being middle-aged, you're only going to name the older groups.
That's correct.
Boston.
Boston's got top tens.
Pink Floyd.
Sure, there's a lot of good ones.
Maybe, yeah, a lot of stuff out there.
But this one's dedicated to Keith's band, Nickelback.
This is a special exception.
Yeah, you want to take the first one?
We're going to take, I'm going to take the first one in the top 10 best Nickelback. And again, as always, this is not our list.
No, this is not our list. So
we just
don't
read,
get mad at
just,
us.
We don't. Yeah, we just read what we got here.
Top 10 Nickelback songs. Craig, take number 10.
Number 10. Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.